Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, bless the reading of your word. Open our hearts that we might be able to prayerfully receive what saith the word of God. Save our lost. Heal our sick. Draw all of our saints closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on the exchanged life. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that crucifixion, I live. Yet he says, it's not I now that's living, but it's Christ who is now living in me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. This is the Christian life in its reality. To exchange all that I am for what he is. What a deal. Change what I am for what he is. This is marvelous. This is a miracle of faith that God is able to take a believing sinner and transform him into his dear son. This is a miracle of grace by faith. It affects the very heart of man. It affects the very mind of man. And it affects the will of man. It affects all totality of the man in his being. It affects the whole man. Jesus lives again on planet Earth as he lives in us. Looking through our eyes, working through our hands, walking through our feet, loving through our heart, living again on planet Earth. This is what Christ, this is what God in Christ wants out of us, the reality of the Christian life. The failure of Christianity is too many times. And I don't know how we've gotten here, but we have gotten to the point that we think it's in education. That's the reason they had, you're not old enough to remember, but I remember that it was a struggle to get Sunday school into the church. And then it was a bigger struggle to get the Sunday school books into church. The first Sunday schools was taught only out of the Bible. No books, just the Bible. And it was a struggle to get the literature into the church. And I thought it was an awful thing at that time, but now I'm beginning to wonder. I don't know but what the old saints knew what they were talking about. Because they didn't want anything coming into the church that might take away from the program of God.
Amen.
That's what they had in mind. And I think that we've just about got to the point, a lot of places where they programmed God out. Programmed him out. That's what they were talking about. And we've lived our lives to the point that we're teaching each other to live like Christ.
You can't be taught to live like Christ. I'm sorry. There was but one Christ. You cannot imitate him. You can't come close. You don't come close in any area of your life. And that's the failure of many Christian lives, is they think that their life, they're supposed to imitate Christ, and they're supposed to be like him, and they know they're not, and they're a failure.
That's right.
They're a failure. And so they just, it's a hit or miss situation. You don't learn to be a Christian. It's like trying to learn a duck to be a duck. You can't learn a duck to be a duck. He's just a duck. You can't learn a Christian to be a Christian. He just is one. He's born a Christian. He's born. I preached last Sunday night on come unto me and abide in me. The coming unto Christ is salvation. The abiding in Christ is a Christian life. Abiding in him, staying in him. The imitation of the Christian life is a failure. Christ has got to live it. You can't live it. You don't have a book of rules to keep you where God wants you. The Holy Spirit keeps you where God wants you. If the Holy Spirit don't do it, it won't be done.
Amen.
If the Holy Spirit don't guide your feet, they won't be guided. If the Holy Spirit don't tell you what to pick up, you won't pick up the right thing. It takes the Holy Spirit abiding in us, living through us. This is the reality of the Christian life. Christ living again on present earth in us, living in us, through us, guiding us and directing us, living us in us. And that's the reason that we can be happy, is because he lives in us. We're sad if we're trying to keep his commandments.
Right.
We sad if we revert back. When we try to keep his commandments, we're reverting back to what? Law. We're living by grace. By the grace of God.
Amen.
And then we're happy.
Right.
Under the law, we're sad.
Sure.
If you don't think so, you just let the police pull up and drive in here and pick you up and put handcuffs on you and carry you to the jailhouse and see what big a smile you got on your face. He'll take a smile off your face. Grace sets you free, walks you out the church door and said, look, everything is yours. Heaven wide open, everything's yours. You're happy because of the grace of God. So the reality of the Christian life is Christ living again in us. Well, all that sounds so good. Exchanging all I am for all he is, that sounds so good. But Paul gives us, in his own words here in the text, how that is applied. He tells us how to do it. He don't tell us to do something and not show us how to do it. He tells us how to do it. He said, I am crucified with Christ. There's the termination of the self-life. I am crucified. Crucifixion was the death of restraint. You nail a man to the cross, his feet can't go nowhere, and his hands cannot reach out to anything. He's nailed to the cross. I think too many people just got one hand dangling. Amen? One hand's loose. They've managed, Brother Adrian, to get a hand loose, and they're reaching out to the world without a hand. But if you've got those hands nailed to the cross, they can't be reaching out. I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, he said, I'm alive. I'm alive. Nevertheless, there's the termination of the self-life, and then there is the substitution of the Christ life. Nevertheless,
I live. Oh, but it's not me that's living. I'm not going where I used to go. I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm not even wanting what I used to want, because Christ is living in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The termination of the self-life, killing the old man, reinstating the substitute, calling in the substitute, because the old man couldn't run the race. We've got to have a substitute, and he was Christ Jesus our Lord, who came born of a virgin, died on the cross of Calvary, resurrected there, and lives and ascended back to heaven to live, and he lives today in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Christ came to condemn sin in the flesh and introduce a new dimension of life in us. I could hardly believe when I was saved, I could hardly believe the life that had come into me. I was totally amazed. And I really thought everybody that I met and everybody that I worked with, everybody I worked with just about was lost. Everybody I run with was lost. I thought everybody would want this.
Yeah.
But you know they didn't.
Sure.
They didn't want it.
Sure.
No, when I started telling people about it, there's a lot of people laughed, said it wouldn't last. They told me that my salvation wouldn't last 3 weeks. It's a little bit longer than that since I got saved.
Yeah,
it's been longer, and it still lasts. It's good eternally. It won't ever run out. But I could not imagine. And when I got saved, I had a fear, because I didn't have a real pretty vocabulary. I've told the church before, when I got saved, I had to learn how to talk again. I had to get a new vocabulary, because my new people, my friends that I was now associating with, didn't talk my old language. I had to speak different. I had to learn a new language. And I was afraid, and I was ever afraid, that I was going to say something somewhere, somehow, that would embarrass me and them. I was scared to death that that old man was going to come back out. But you know, he didn't come back out. I was amazed at that, Brother Adrian. I really was, because I could not believe that he didn't come back out on occasion. The way that I live and I was quick-tempered, and I just fly off the handle at nothing. Anybody know anything about that? I got over that. I couldn't even believe it myself. I look in the mirror and I say, you look the same, but you're not the same. You don't even talk like the same man. You don't act like the same man. You look like him, but you don't act like him. There's something about the new birth that births you into the family of God. And when Christ comes into your life, he changes your attitude. People used to come and invite me to church. They'd knock on my door and invite me to church, encourage me to come to church. Nobody's ever been back since I got saved. Nobody has ever come to my house and knocked on my door and said, we want you in church, because I am in church. Don't have to come to the house. I know what my responsibility is. I'm supposed to be in the house of God. I'm supposed to be in church. I coveted with the church that I'd be regular in attendance. I coveted with the church that I'd support the church. I coveted with them that I would be a part of them and would help them. That's my job. That's my responsibility.
It's your job and your responsibility.
That's our job. As Christians, that's our job. That's our responsibility. Christ died as a substitute for us, but he didn't stay dead. He got up.
Amen.
Amen. Christ lives, and he lives in us. He lives in us. And the world needs to see Christ in us. Your neighbors need to see Christ in you. Your family needs to see Christ in you. Live in that exchange life. Live in that new life. That life that Christ with the substitute life. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. As I accept crucifixion in my flesh, I now accept substitution in my life. I accept crucifixion in the flesh, substitution in my life. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. Changes my poverty into his riches, as we've talked about in our Sunday school today. Changes my weaknesses into his strength. Changes my depressed moods into joy. Changes my fears into peace. Changes my defeats into victory. What a life. The exchange life. It's a divine life. It's a divine life. Separates us from the worldly life. You've heard preachers say, well, you know, I go to the bar all I want to, or the movies and all the other things. Like I go all I want to, and I do too. I do too. I just never have wanted to go since I've been saved. I've never wanted to go. And that was because there was a new man lived in my life. There's a new person moved in, and for some reason, he don't go to bars. For some reason, he don't sip on wine. For some reason, he just don't drink. So how do you know? Because he's warned us about the evils of drinking, so I just know that he don't. I just knew, I never lived with him, but I just know that he don't, because he lives in me, and the same characteristics that moved in there causes me not to do that. Causes me not to want to do that. The exchange life, living the substitute life, living the Christ life. And Christ, as his custom was, what did he do on the Lord's Day? It's church. He just made his way to the church on the Lord's Day. That's his custom. That was what he did. That was his life. And so when he moved in me, that was my life. I didn't go to church, but I did after I got saved. I didn't ever want to go to church, but I did after I got saved. I didn't get home good until I was thinking, I believe I'll go back tonight. Well, I never had that kind of thought in my life. When I got saved and when I got in the car and started home, I thought, we're going to go back over there tonight. I thought, did I say we're going to go back over there tonight? Betty, I couldn't believe that. I could hardly believe that. And when I came back on that Sunday night and went back in the prayer room to pray, and Brother Cook looked at the men and he said, we won't have to pray for him no more. He's in church now. I didn't know they'd been praying for me on Sunday night. But he said, we don't have to pray for him no more. He's in church now. And they didn't have to pray for me to get saved anymore. But they had to pray for me to follow the Lord. But they didn't have to pray for me to get saved anymore because I was already saved. Living the exchange life. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting.
It is
really exciting. There's never a dull moment with a Christian. It's exciting to live for the glory of God and to study the Word of God and look into the Word, the pages of God, to see the promises and all of the things and all of the riches in the Word of God, to have all these things
are for us, and they're ours to trust and to believe. And the end is going to be heaven.
Amen. I was reading just a while ago, and I want to read this in closing. Brother Greg was talking about the contentment of the Apostle Paul, and he'd learned how to be content in whatsoever state he was in, his contentment. And we think, well, he was probably content until he got into bad, hot trouble and everything. But I want to read his closing words. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it was leading him to the chop block to cut his head off. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure or my death is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Here's his final words. "I have kept the faith." Walking him to the chop block, looking at the galantine with its sparkling edge in the sunshine, knowing that he was fixing to stick his head right underneath that blade, and they was going to drop that knife, and it was going to chop his head off, and it was going to fall in a barrel on the other side. He said, "I finished my course. There's no more churches to be built. There's no more mission journeys to go on. There's no more declaration of the Word of God. I've finished up. I've done her all. I've walked to the end of the road. But the main thing is, I've kept the faith." And when they drop that axe, and that head falls over there, my body falls down on this other side, my soul resides in heaven. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And I'm going home. I've got that eternal promise. The promise of God. I've kept the faith. I may not have done much else. And you may not be able to do much else. But I'm going to tell you one thing you can do. You can be faithful and you can keep the faith. You can be faithful, and you can keep the faith. Yes. Never, you've heard people say, "Well, Paul, they counted him worthy, and they put him into the ministry." No, they counted him faithful. Didn't count him worthy. They counted him faithful, and they put him in the ministry, and he kept the faith until his head fell in the bucket and his body fell on the ground. And the soul went to heaven.
Yes, amen.
The exchange life. Giving all you've got for all he's got. What a deal. What a deal. And when you do that, you're going to start enjoying immediately the transaction. You'll start enjoying the transaction immediately. But then it'll consummate in full glory in heaven. Father, bless your word today. Speak to our hearts. Let us, as Christian people, let us enjoy this exchange life. Let us live accepting the substitute, not trying to be the substitute, not trying to be so good, just being good. Not trying, but being. Help us, Lord, to live that life that you'd be pleased with. Bless the church. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Bless our prayers as we lift them up to you. Send us the leader that you'd have us have. Lead us, God, and keep us together until the leader gets here. Keep us, Lord, where that we can have a church that is worthy of a leader. A church that is seeking and praying and full of the Spirit of God, looking for a leader. In
Jesus' name, if there's one here lost, save them. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While we get a song together, while we stand together this morning, if you're here lost, you ought to get saved. Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning. If you know that you're lost, that is the Holy Spirit. If you know that you're lost, you ought to come to Jesus. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. I'll guarantee you he's the best teacher you've ever got to. He'll teach you how to pray if you'll come. He just wants a willing response. And if you'll make that willing response, the Lord will do the rest. We'll help you pray. We'll try to pray with you, and the Lord will teach you to pray if you'll come this morning. God will speak to you right now.